Yes, welcome to the Biz Communication Show. I'm your host, Bill Lampton, the Biz Communication Guy. Once again, bringing a highly qualified business communication expert whose tips and strategies will help us boost our business by giving us winning words and ways. Today, it's a pleasure to have as my guest once again, Karen Chase, coming to us from East Freetown, Massachusetts. Karen Chase is an award-winning storyteller, teaching artist, and author. Since 2002, she has taught the art of storytelling to over 700 students. That's quite an impact. Karen Chase is a contributing author to numerous publications around the world, and her book, Story by Story, Creating a School Storytelling Troupe, received a 2016 Storytelling World Honor Award and a 2015 Ann Izzard Storytelling Award. Karen produces and hosts the Story Cafe, a local television series in Seekonk, Massachusetts, and she is the recipient of the Lanes Brother Blue Ruth Hill Storytelling Award in 2009. And in 2011, the National Storytelling Network's Oracle Service and Leadership Award. Quite a qualified guest to be with us today, as always. Karen Chase, welcome to the Biz Communication Show.
Oh, thank you, Bill. It's always a pleasure to spend time with you.
Well, every time that I host you, there's one phrase that comes to mind, and that's once upon a time.
Thank you. I love that.
I remember, of course, and so many of us remember, if we were fortunate in our childhood, there were relatives or friends or siblings or caregivers or whoever else who would open a book. And if it started with once upon a time, all of a sudden our imaginations were stirred. They had our full attention. It made our day so rich. And so that makes it especially meaningful to talk with a professional storyteller. I've said before, you're the only professional storyteller I know. So I can easily say you're the best storyteller.
Oh, well, I thank you. But trust me, there are many, many fabulous storytellers out there in the world.
Now, Karen, many of us in our professional life have an aha moment. We're in the profession that we love and that we dedicate our lives and our talents and our time to and try to learn more and more about all the time. We're in that profession, many of us, because there was some enlightening incident and what we would call an aha moment. I never knew anybody in kindergarten that said, I want to grow up to be a storyteller. So tell us, please, what that, I guess, to use a fancy word, what that epiphany was for you, that you became a professional storyteller and an award-winning professional storyteller.
Well, epiphany is the perfect word. I happened to be at a teacher's conference. I worked for an elementary school at the time, and I went as a parent liaison. And during the lunch break one day, after everyone was finished, they brought a storyteller on as our entertainment. And she was a storyteller from New Hampshire, and she wove personal stories with old folk tales. And it was absolutely mesmerizing. I had never seen or heard anybody like that before. And so when I came home, I immediately, and this was in the early days of Google, so not as easy to find things at the time, I Googled and found a storytelling conference in Iowa. And I registered, booked a plane ticket, and that was my foray into storytelling. And that was back in 1999.
Fascinating. Always fascinating to find out what spurred us to the point where we are today. Many of us, when we think about storytelling, think about that for children and maybe young adults, and it's recreational. But we know, though, Karen, you and I do, that storytelling is very important for our business and for our brand. So please explain to us, please give us some thoughts about how storytelling skills can help us promote our business, whether we're an entrepreneur, a small business, a large corporation, and possibly you even advise companies and leaders on this. So what do we do to take the storytelling skill and advance our business and professional life?
That's a great question. We actually, my colleague and I and myself alone, work with different organizations to help them find a story that will help in market their product. For instance, we've worked with Tufts Medical, we've worked with the Harvard Entrepreneurs, and the thing that we help them do, so for example, with the Harvard Entrepreneurs, they had all developed a specific product that they then needed to find funding for, and they had to give presentations. Well, as you know, scientists are very, very intellectual, but sometimes speaking, public speaking is not in their forte. And we needed to help them spice up their presentations. And so we worked with them to find the story behind the product they had developed. What spurred that idea? And then take that story and fold that into their presentation, thereby making it much more accessible to the people that they were speaking to, easier to make a connection, to empathize with what they were trying to do. So it's really important to have that personal touch when you're trying to brand a product, present a product. And in that way, you make the connection with the person on the other end, be it on Zoom or in person or at a board meeting.
It occurred to me, even as you were talking and explaining that so well, that television commercials are largely stories.
That's right. They are. Absolutely. Yes.
And they will, for example, show a before and after, and the story is on how that product or that service helped somebody along the way. I'd like to share with you and with our video and podcast listeners something that I learned about how a worldwide story came about. I knew a local manager of a Chick-fil-A restaurant. And many of us, all of us who are familiar with Chick-fil-A know about their cows as their symbol and the fact that you'll see them on billboards and any Chick-fil-A product is probably going to have the cows. This Chick-fil-A manager told me that several years back, and Chick-fil-A headquarters are in Atlanta, there was a meeting where several marketers were brought in because Chick-fil-A wanted a new advertising, a new promotional campaign. And all of these high-paid, highly trained marketers made their presentation with, I imagine, PowerPoints and charts and visuals, all kinds of things. At the end of the day, not to use a corny expression there, which I did, but when those reports were done, the group looked at each other as the consultants had left and they said, you know, we're just not really satisfied with any of those. They just don't seem to fit. They don't seem to excite. They're not really our brand or our business. And so one of the people in the group said, guess what? Maybe I've got an idea. And while these people had been talking, he had sketched on a napkin pictures of cows and talked about how that could fit into. And next thing we know, we're seeing cows on billboards and television. I think it's a fascinating story that you don't have to be all that fancy. Just think of something that catches the opinion and the idea and represents you well. Had you heard that story before?
I had not. That's a very interesting story. But, you know, something similar about, you know, we all hear the phrase, just do it. And we know immediately that's Nike. And we recognize the Nike swoosh. That was actually drawn by, I believe it was an accountant at Nike, and they paid him $25 for that logo. And it's known worldwide. So sometimes it can be extremely simple. But now what's interesting, you just proved the point by telling me that story about Chick-fil-A. I will always remember when I see, you know, that particular logo, I'll remember this conversation. I'll remember what we talked about. So it really does imprint a connection with people. One of the things what has been found recently, and you can look this up on a TEDx talk, Yuri Hassan is a wonderful presenter and scientist. And they found, and he gave a presentation on this, that they did an MRI connecting the brains of someone who was listening to a story and connected it to the storyteller. And what they found is when the listener is hearing the story, the exact same areas of the brain light up in both groups. So it's an actual physical connection. So telling a story in a presentation, or if you're trying to gain funding, or even if you're just entertaining, really connects you with the listener.
Ironically, the $25 that you mentioned reminded me of an incident that I read about quite a few years back. Norman Mailer is an author who wrote one of the best-known books about World War II. The title of the book was The Naked and the Dead. Mm-hmm. And it's a catchy title, obviously. Well, how did Norman Mailer get that title? He did not have a great, well-known, famous, costly marketing executives. He was in a bar one night. And in this bar, he was sitting with some friends and he said, "I've got this book, but I haven't thought of the title." Somebody said, "How about The Naked and the Dead?" He paid them $25.
Wow. I never heard that story before either.
Yeah, great things can happen in informal settings, and brainstorms can happen anywhere, as they did with you when you found out how to become a storyteller. Karen, we're going to come back in a few seconds, and we're going to talk about the workshop that you conduct called Story Play. So Hang in there and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Do you wish you felt confident about giving speeches? Do you want to deal with difficult people constructively? And what about becoming more persuasive in sales? Then keep listening now to Dr. Bill Lampton. He spent 20 years in management, so he knows the communication skills you need for success. I urge you to call the Biz Communication Guy today for a no-cost but very valuable 30-minute discussion about your communication challenges. Call now, 678-316-4300. Again, that's 678-316-4300.
We've already established, Karen, that storytelling, brand building, are very vital in today's business and professional world. And many of us wonder, okay, how can I learn that? So tell us about the workshop that you conduct, which is called Story Play. What is the format and who participates in that?
Well, I developed that workshop to complement my book, Story by Story. As you mentioned, I've been teaching storytelling to students since 2002 using folktales and fables. And it is a sneaky way to also get them to read, but also to learn public speaking skills, because they will then at the end perform, not read, perform the stories for an audience. And so a lot of my colleagues were very interested in how I conducted these residencies in schools and libraries, and so, which was the impetus for writing the book. But then also I developed the workshop. And so what I do in the workshop is have the participants pick a short story. Usually I provide the stories. It can be something as easy as an Aesop fable. And then, you know, I run them through different exercises, both written and interactive, to help them, what I like to say, get the story in their bones. So it's not rote, it's not memorized. It's something that they can tell extemporaneously. And by doing so, they allow people to enter the story with them. We do with my students, you know, we do very interactive things such as a relay race built around their story. We just did a game the other day I created based on the five senses. I have them do a worksheet where they use their story and develop things around the five senses in the story or what they're feeling. And then I found some, they kind of Easter baskets, but they look like basketballs. They're felt baskets. And I called it sensory swish. And so each basket is connected to a sense. And so they try to, almost like, you know, a carnival game, throw a ball into one of them, and whichever one they get, they then have to share a sensory element from their story. So when you move and use things to incorporate them into what you're trying to learn, it makes it fun. It makes it easier for them to connect with themselves and connect with each other. And my colleagues love to take the workshop because it helps them when they're going to their residencies to try out new things with their students as well. We also use some of these games and worksheets in my other program, Once Upon a Generation. I connect my student storytellers with local senior citizens, and the senior citizens write a story from their life, just a really small anecdote, maybe between, you know, the ages of 5 and 25. And the students then interview them, and then they work on the story, and they then present the story as a first-person narrative. And it's all about connecting the generations. We've been doing this with my colleague and I, Andrea Lovett, since 2015, and it's extremely rewarding. So lots of play is the most important thing in schools to get students connected and invested into what they're learning.
I agree so wholeheartedly on that. And in the 25 now that I've been a professional speaker, one of my approaches has always been that one-way communication is nowhere nearly as effective either for interest, entertainment, or education as involvement.
Exactly.
You and I both know that old saying, if I see something, if I hear something, but if I do something, then I learn it. We can see it and forget it, or hear it and forget it, but to really understand it. And then I've noticed, as you know so well, in your workshop, if you simply stood up and talked all day, particularly in today's with today's audiences, you'd have people leaving, you'd have them nodding, you'd have them texting, whatever. And so I've always realized for many years that if you can get your participants to be real participants, not just sitting there, this is how the story or the message comes to life for them. And it occurred to me, too, as we were talking, why are fiction books so popular? Why are movies so popular? Because they tell stories.
And they really allow you to live another life for a moment when you're reading or watching a movie or telling a story. I had a gentleman one time. I had given a performance at our local historical society. It was all folk tales, and they were, you know, it was for an adult audience. So the folk tales were longer, more sophisticated stories. And afterwards, a gentleman came up to me and he said, I'd like to tell you something, but I don't want to insult you. And I thought, oh, what did I do wrong? What did I say? You know, immediately you start to worry that you insulted somebody. And I said, well, please, you know, please share. We can all learn from our mistakes. And he said, well, you know, when you started the first story, I was watching and I was listening to you and enjoying it. He said, but towards the end, you know, I went through a number of different stories. He said, I realized that I wasn't seeing you anymore. I had stepped into the story. And that was a high compliment. And that's what I shared with him. I said, if a storyteller does their job right, they disappear. And the listener steps into the story with them. So it was a very high compliment. And even in this day and age of technology, people will step into a story with you.
Yes. And I think that is a very high compliment. I want to underscore before we close in a few minutes, I want to underscore as well what you talked about sensory appeal in our stories. If we can get people to see and to hear and to feel what we're talking about, and that's what great books do. That's what great speeches do. That's what great television or movies do. They do involve all of the senses, and That's one of the great things that you do. And let's talk now about the television show you host. We've talked about your training workshops, but you also are one of the few TV stars I know. Talk to us about the Story Cafe, Karen.
Well, I'm very, very lucky. I have a show on Seekonk Channel 9, which is a local cable, but it is very well run. And the gentleman that produces the shows is extremely professional. So it is a beautiful set, a beautiful sound. And I actually, again, you know, serendipity, I had gone on their show to perform and also to promote my book. They had asked me to come on to be interviewed about my book. And when I was finished, the producer at the time asked if I would be willing to do a storytelling show where I would be telling stories. And while that was a lovely offer, I know that a lot of people, when I tell them I'm a storyteller, will immediately think, well, you read to children. And while that's a whole nother skill that librarians are very skilled at, that's not what storytellers do. And we work in so many different areas. We work in prisons. We work in churches. We work in recovery centers. The list goes on and on. And so I pitched an idea to him where I would interview other storytellers and have them come on and talk about their work and how they use story in their work, be it business, educational, in whatever realm. And luckily, he liked the idea. And so that's what I've been doing since 2015. I will reach out to different storytellers and ask what they would like to discuss. And thankfully, with the presence of Zoom now, I am able to bring in storytellers not only, you know, beyond New England, but beyond the U.S. Just this year, my first storyteller in January came to me on Zoom from Ireland. And the next one was from Portugal, originally from India. So it's been a real boon to be able to have people in on Zoom. Although I prefer to have them in studio, this has allowed me to reach out and speak to people about different subjects. And in fact, the woman from Portugal, we had a conversation about how she uses storytelling in business. I'll have to send you that link. I think you would enjoy it, Bill.
In a true sense, you do with your television show what I do with the Biz Communication Show. You bring on professionals in your area.
Exactly. And it's very astounding for people to see how many different ways you can use story in your work, not just in schools, but in business. Really quick little anecdote. I was working with the University of Massachusetts in Dartmouth. The marketing professor had asked me to come in and coach the students that were working on a project as a team. They had to invent a product and then pitch the product. And so I did. And one of the groups had a reusable water bottle that the bottom cap screwed off, where you could put your key in if you were at the gym, that sort of thing. And it was, you know, interesting. The presentation was nicely done. But when I started to coach them and ask questions, I said, you know, there were so many water bottles out there. What was the impetus? What was the idea behind getting this bottle with the bottom screwing off? And one of the women said, oh, well, my grandfather is quite ill and he has to take a lot of pills every day. So I came up with the idea of the water bottle with, there's different sections you can put, different bottoms, and one is like a pill box. And I said, nowhere is that story in your presentation. That needs to be there. That is that personal connection of how you came up with that idea. And they hadn't even thought about it. And so, you know, I tell people all the time when I'm coaching them, be that if they're scientists or business majors or storytellers, you know, what's the idea behind the story? With my storytelling students, I will say, think about what is the most important thing in your story. If you left out, the story wouldn't make sense. And that's another way to be able to connect what's going on. And the same thing in business. How do you want to make sense of the story that you're sharing with your clients?
I had an incident once where I noticed that a story can be nonverbal. And that is, I was in a management situation. It was a time when all of us department heads were called together. The CEO came in. We each were to give a pitch for our budget for the next year. And of course, all of us were going to come in and ask for more money. Now, the CEO told us a story non-verbally because he walked in and with a rather straight face, distributed a crying towel to each one of us. He didn't have to say anything. That was a nonverbal story. So stories, powerful stories can be nonverbal. I don't know if that's something you emphasize or not.
You know, that's interesting you say that, because one of the games I'll play with my students, I have to apologize to the parents this year because I gave each one of them a kazoo. And they then had to get up in front of, you know, our group that we were practicing with and tell their story using only the kazoo. And it was very, very interesting to see what came out and to say to the other students, do you know what part of the story they're telling right now? Because at that point, they all knew each other's story. So that's another fun way just to get people trying out their story in different ways. You know, in that case, it was folk tales and fairy tales, but it's fun to do just as an exercise.
And creativity is what brings great stories together. Karen, this has been fascinating. And I know there are people who will want to contact you, both those who have watched the video interview. I like to really call it a conversation.
Yes.
And then also those who are listening to the podcast. So please give us your contact information.
Well, you can reach me through my website at storybug.net. And my email is karenchase.stories@gmail.com.
Storybug, a very appropriate name. I certainly cannot end this conversation without mentioning that every year, sometime in November, I contact Karen and ask her to send me a story, a Christmas story that I can share online. And she often will send me one or two or three to choose from. And that has been a service that she helps me provide to people who I have affiliation with, and I appreciate that. Now that Karen has given her contact information, I am happy to share mine. I encourage you to go to my YouTube channel, and while you're there in the search bar, type in my YouTube name, my handle, my moniker on YouTube. That's Bill Lampton, PhD. And be sure while you're there to hit that subscribe button. You'll not only have access to this interview, but to instructional videos that I've been posting since 2004. Some were a solo act. Many of them in the last few years have been interviews like this one. So do subscribe. And then my website, since I'm the Biz Communication Guide, logically, my website is B-I-Z, bizcommunicationguide.com. I encourage you to go there. Check my services for corporations and leaders and find out how I can assist you. And also, while you're on my website, there are instructions on how you can subscribe to this podcast. And then, of course, I want you to give me a phone call, 678-316-4300. That's no obligation. Exploratory call to begin with to hear about your communication challenges and problems and how I can assist you with them. Karen Chase, it's been quite a story to have you with us today. So any closing remarks where you can pull this all together for us?
Well, first of all, thank you, Bill, for having me on. But, you know, I encourage everyone to think about how they can use story, not only in their business life, but in their personal life as well. Family stories in particular are so very precious. They are gems. Collect those before our elders are no longer there. There is an African proverb that says, when an elder dies, a library burns down. So make sure you collect those stories from your families and friends. It's been a delight, Bill, always to spend time with you. Thank you so very much.
It's been educational, informative, and entertaining, which I said any presentation should be. And you made that happen for us. Karen Chase. Be sure to get in touch with Karen. She's a wonderful resource and a great professional to work with as well. Thank you very much for being with us on the Biz Communication Show. I'm your host, Bill Lampton, the Biz Communication Guy, bringing you communication tips and strategies that will boost your business because you learn winning words and ways. Be with us again for the next Biz Communication Show.